Last Sunday morning, we have the privilege of anointing and praying with, we think, at least 50 people. And, you know, for us, that is a wonderful experience and a real privilege. And we pray that the anointing of the oil that people received would be anointing of the Spirit upon their lives. And that it makes a difference, not just Sunday, but day by day. And so we were reflecting on that. And then we remembered that last February, we were away on retreat, and God gave us some verses from Ezekiel. And the picture in Ezekiel 47 is of the temple and water coming up from under the temple. You can read it for yourself. But there's this picture of the water that comes from the temple and then flows down from the temple. And what happens is that Ezekiel has a vision of a man who then measures off 1,000 cubits. Don't know what that is, but it's quite a long way. So, and what happens is he measures 1,000 cubits. The water starts as a trickle, and then it gets ankle deep. And as the water continues to flow, it then goes up to the knees, then it goes to your waist, and then in the end, the water is so deep that you can't walk in it, you have to swim in it. And we felt that that was a vision from God for what was going to happen here in the life of our church. And on the 1st of September, when I'd been here 25 years, I kind of preached on that. But actually, we talked about that on Thursday. And we thought to ourselves, Sunday morning, we prayed with 50 people. What is that? And we agreed it wasn't even ankle deep. That God is going to do much more than we can ask or imagine. Yeah. And for us, I found that just so thrilling. And what Alan is saying this morning just kind of resonated with me, yeah, is if God is going to do something amazing, we can either be on the side, yeah, spectating, yeah, or we can get in the river. Yeah. And we can paddle a bit. And then we can get up to our knees, and then we get up to our waist. And in the end, we'll be swimming. And if you don't swim very well, don't worry, you won't drown. But we feel God is on the move. And so this morning, we've been praying about this morning. We're very excited about this morning because we're excited every time people gather here because we are so expectant of what God is going to do today. And for some of you today, you're going to get in the river and start paddling. Because we believe God is going to do something every time we come together. So what's God going to do for you? And I think something I found really significant is when we were singing that song, Who You Say I Am. And I kind of, Amos picked up on that because actually we are children of God. Yeah. And that is such a tremendous privilege. And some of you today, you've come here and you don't feel, get those words, you don't feel kind of very worthy. And you don't feel like a child of God, but that's how you feel. It's not who you are. You are a child of God if you've given your life to Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, think about what the Word of God says, not what just you feel within your heart. And I pray that as we spend time worshiping together, as we look at the Word of God, that your heart will be lifted and there will be an excitement within you. Because for some of us, spiritually, we're a bit dry. And we need to get that river flowing within us. Amen? Amen. We're going to pray because we're going to really commit ourselves and ask that God would speak to us. Are you expecting that? Are you expecting just me to prattle on for half an hour? We expect God to speak to us this morning. And if God is speaking to your life, what you need to do is you need to respond. Because it is a great privilege, isn't it? That the God of the universe would actually talk to you. Yeah. You ever had seen, you know, get the phone these days? You never used to know who was on your phone, did you? In the olden days, when you had to pick up the phone, you didn't know who was there. These days, it's great. It says, oh, it's Stuart calling. I can't be bothered. But if you picked up the phone and it said God, yeah, or Jesus, yeah, you'd respond, I'm sure. So I'm going to pray this morning that our hearts would be really open to what God is saying, that we would have ears, but our hearts would be open to what he wants to say to us this morning. Because I think the message we have is going to be for, it's for everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who is always speaking. And we ask now, Father, that we would hear the Father's voice. You would speak to us. And I pray, Father, for each of us as we hear your voice this morning, as we hear the call, as we are given vision, as we're invited, that we would have open hearts and we would respond to what you are saying. Lord, we pray this now in the Saviour's name, the name Jesus, whom we love and we serve. Amen. Okay, so we are going to do some stuff about discipleship. So, go back. Stop being so quick. Okay, here we go. So we know follow, share, don't we?
Yes.
That's a vision for this year. We're going to know Jesus, yes?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? That's just a challenge in itself. Yeah. And then we're going to follow Jesus. Where's that going to take us? And then we're going to share Jesus. Okay, so that's our vision. And we have five core values, which are all up here. I'm going to walk across and point them out. The elders have put this together. This is what we want our church to look like. This is what the DNA of our church should be, that we are discipling people. So, you know, you are Christian, but can I say, are you a disciple? Because I think there's a big difference. Because a Christian can believe stuff, but a disciple really puts that all into action. And their faith is active. And the beliefs they have, beliefs about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are put into practice and are the basis of their lives. Then we have about worshipping, because ultimately we are called by God to worship him, because he wants our worship, he is worthy of our worship. And when we have a life of worship, we are focused on God and giving to him. And then we got about giving, being a generous church with all that we have, being generous people. I had a conversation with someone the other day and they said, oh, I won't tell you who it is, but my wife's quite tight. And I know what they mean. I think the word should be careful. But actually, I don't think God wants us to be careful people. He wants us to be generous people, to share what we have. God has given all this stuff. And so often it's like this, isn't it? I'm going to keep all this. But God is saying, be generous. And then we're talking about mission. We're going in Jesus' name to those who are near and far. Okay? So the people around us, we are on mission, given a mission by God to reach out to them. And lastly, we want to be a loving community where everybody is valued, where love is really felt. I'm sure we've walked into houses sometimes and you just get that atmosphere, don't you?
Yeah.
You see two people who are not quite on the same page. They've just had a row or something's gone wrong and you walk in, you go, okay. I think it's time to go. But actually, what we want is the total opposite, that actually we walk in, people walk into this place and they feel the love of God. They feel loved and valued. They feel wanted. And then when they join the community, they feel secure in the community. So that's what we want our church to look like. So we're going to, next 10 weeks, we're going to preach on this stuff. And every 2 weeks, we're going to take two of the subjects. So we're going to look at it firstly from a personal perspective. Discipling today from a personal perspective. What should my discipleship look like? And then on the second week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at it from a corporate perspective. From a church perspective. If we're disciples, what should our church be? What should it look like? How's that going to be outworked in the life of our church? So we've got 10 weeks going through all these. And today we're going to look at discipleship. And I thought to myself, well, if you remember, I'm sure you do, I preached back probably about October, November. You remember that sermon, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. Not. I can't even remember what I said. But okay, so let's just do this. So we talked about discipling, and then we had a number of things which we went through about how in the Bible the word disciple is Matthias. It's mentioned 264 times in the Gospels and the Acts, and it means learner, pupil, apprentice. You remember all that, don't you? You kind of got that planted in you. And then we talked, I had a three-point sermon, because that's what I do, and we talked about a disciple is called, and then a disciple is committed to following Jesus, and then lastly, a disciple is commissioned. So that sense of being sent. Go and do stuff for God, yes? So you remember all that, don't you? So I thought to myself, well, I can't do that again. I'll have to do something different. And I thought to myself, do you know what? Let's look at one of the disciples in the Bible. And I decided, let's look at the life of Peter. Okay, so Peter, what do we know about Peter? He was a Christian. Yeah, thanks. Oh, you said fisherman. Oh, okay. Sorry, Keith, my hearing. But he was a fisherman. He had a brother called Andrew. The front row are doing well. Everyone's a bit quiet. It's like that at school, isn't it? You've got all the goodies on the front row, and all the people who don't really know anything, they all sit at the back, hoping no one's going to ask them a question. So what year was he born? Ooh, front row, give me an answer.
B.C.
We don't really know, but we believed it was 1 B.C., okay? And what year did he die? A.D., thank you. We're a good bunch to take. 67, they believed. He died around 67, and actually he was crucified. He was crucified upside down because he didn't feel that he was worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. He was, a fisherman. Well done, Keith. Brother Andrew, he had a brother called Andrew. He was son of John. I think in the Gospel of John, it calls him son of Jonas. So, don't know really. Not sure about that one. But he first met Jesus. If you read the Gospel of John, he first met Jesus in John chapter 1. And Andrew was was a disciple of John the Baptist, and then he met Jesus, and he then said to his brother, you've got to come and meet Jesus, because he's the Messiah. So we see right in John's Gospel, right at the beginning, before he left everything, he'd actually met Jesus, okay? And then what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the encounter, because here we go, walking in Peter's footsteps. We're going to do this very quickly this morning, because I want us to have some time to worship. So, let's have the first one. So, Peter's calling, okay? So, it's all up there for you to read. So, Jesus started his ministry, and we know that he went, and it talks there about how he called people to repent. Said, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. And then he's walking by the lake, and he sees the four fishermen, James, John, Peter, and Andrew, And I think it's in Luke's gospel, what happens is we see a story where Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, come on, I've got this big crowd of people. I need to have a platform to speak on because the crowd is big. It's getting bigger and bigger. And so we read that actually what happened, he got in the boat with Peter and Andrew. And they listened to Jesus. And then Jesus said, well, let's go fishing. And then Peter and Andrew says, well, actually, basically, we've been fishing all night. We got nothing. And then they push out into the water, and then they get this amazing catch of fish. And then as they get back, what happens is Peter is just kind of blown away by this. And he actually says, Lord, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy of who you are. And at the end of the story, this is what Mark picks up, because actually Mark has written the gospel written from Peter's perspective. So Peter kind of dictated. And I think what Peter didn't want to do, he didn't want to be the star of the Gospel of Mark. So he kind of puts himself in the background all the time. But what it does say, it says this, at once they left their nets and followed him. They literally, well, this is what Peter's saying, is literally, they just met Jesus. Jesus said, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they just said, right, let's dump this lot. And let's follow him. Peter was married. We know that. So that would have been a good conversation at home, wouldn't it? Oh, by the way, love, I've just given up the fishing business and I'm going on the road with Jesus. I'll be gone about 3 years. I don't know how he got around that one. But clearly, his life was changed because he encountered Christ. And here we have this amazing call to follow Jesus. And literally, it was a call to leave everything behind, to commit his life to Christ and follow him. And that's the call that we have. And you say, well, you know, I'm not ready to leave Vodafone yet, are you? Not yet. But the call of Christ comes to every one of us.
Yeah.
And it's coming to you today. If you're not a Christian, God is calling you. And because he wants to bless your life and he wants to change your life. He wants to transform what you have in your life.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one who can. And for some of you, I know you're trying to change your life by yourself. You're using your willpower and your own strength, but you'll never change your life completely until you submit and you hear the call of Christ and you obey it. And Christ has called each one of us. And for some of you, yeah, you have heard the call. And you said to Jesus, yeah, I'm going to give my life to you and I'm going to follow you. Well, let's go back a bit, shall we? You said you'd give your life to him. But have you really? Because some of us, we've kind of said yes. But we've not actually left anything behind. And we're not really following. And there's a challenge for every one of us, isn't it? I don't know how we were. I think we've done this before. How long people have been Christians. And some of us, we've been on the road a long time. I've been a Christian, I'll tell you this now. You won't believe this, because you won't believe I'm that old. I've been a Christian 45 years. You see? Yeah, you're ahead of me. There's people way ahead of me. But 45 years. Am I still leaving things behind and following Christ? And the thing is, some of us are very good play actors. Some of us put on a good show. But there are other things that we really do need to leave behind. And are we truly following Jesus? And the call comes to you again today. Follow me. Because what does he want us to do? He wants us to become fishers of men. Are you truly responding to the call of Christ? Have you truly given him everything, leaving things behind to follow him? We need to move on because I've got 3 more points to do. You didn't know you're getting a bonus today, by the way. So let's talk about a second time. Now, this is some people say this is a very significant moment in Peter's life. So it's cool. It happened at an area called the Caesarea Philippi, okay? And what was happening was that Jesus kind of came aside to spend time with his disciples. So Jesus was doing all the stuff. He was feeding thousands of people. He was healing people. He'd done a bit of walking on the water, and he wanted time with his team. And so he comes aside, and they go to a place called Caesarea Philippi, and they kind of have like a mini home group. Okay? They have a little sit down, and they have a chat between them. You know what home groups are like? Somebody's leading, and everybody's sat around. If you don't know what a home group is, go and find one. Get involved. So everybody's done a little Bible study, and they're all talking, and then Jesus asks this big question. He says, well, actually, who do people say I am? It's interesting. Caesarea Philippi is an amazing place because it was a place full of idols. If you read the stuff about it, it was a place where there was the worship of Roman gods and Greek gods. It was believed that there was the gateway to the underworld. There was a temple and there was a door, and everybody said, if you go through that door, you're going to end up in the underworld, where all the dead people live. So it was a scary place. So there we are, having this little Bible study with Jesus. He says, who does people say the Son of Man is? They reply, some say you're John the Baptist. Because John the Baptist was headless, okay? He had his head chopped off. He was dead. So some people believe that John the Baptist had come back to life and Jesus was him. And then we go on. It says, others say Elijah, Old Testament prophet, did some amazing stuff. Bit of a scary guy. Or Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was a very somber, I was going to say miserable prophet. He was a somber prophet who was a bit doom and gloom. So people say, well, he must be Jeremiah. And then others said, well, one of the other prophets come back to life. But what they were saying was he was a dead person come back to life. So they're all having their little discussion, little Bible study. Everybody's trying to think of the right answer. You know what home groups are like. You're sitting there going, what's the right answer? Don't know, but I'll chuck something in. I wish I hadn't said that. And then he then asked them the question, but who do you? What do you think? And at that point, nobody wants to answer because nobody wants to give the wrong answer, do they? But Peter, because Peter is someone who's impatient and bold and he's going to go for it. He opens his mouth, puts his foot in it very often, but he opens his mouth and he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Yeah. And that was a huge revelation. Yeah. Because Peter, through the Spirit of God, declared, this is Jesus. He is the Son of the living God. Yeah. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. So note it says Simon Peter. In the beginning of the Gospel, in John's Gospel, he was called Simon. And then Jesus changed his name and called him Peter. Because he says, basically, you are Peter, which means rock. On you, I'm going to build the church. Yeah. And he says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So what did Jesus mean? Did it mean that Peter was literally going to be, you know, building churches brick on brick? He was the one who was going to build the church. Or did he mean, the words you've spoken, I am going to build the church upon? That you are the Christ. And when we realize who Jesus is, then we can start building. Because we put him in the right place. And when the church of God recognizes the person of Jesus as the Son of God, that is when the building starts. Because actually, without that, you have no foundation to build a church. Because it will fall apart. And I could say something controversial here about churches today. Because it's on Christ, he is the rock that we build the church. And so Peter says these words, and he goes on and he talks about the kingdom of heaven and what's going to be loosed on earth and loosed in heaven. But actually what we have here is an amazing revelation from God that opened Peter's eyes to who Jesus is. And I feel today, and I just want to preach a little bit on this, that actually God wants to speak to you. God has a revelation for your life. And if you kind of feel called by God, but you don't know where you're going, then you need to speak to God about what he wants you to do. Because God has some revelation for you. I found that so exciting. In school today, I think every child has an education plan, don't they?
Some.
Okay, the good schools, yeah, right. But a plan that is for this child to help them develop and grow and grow and grow and grow in education. Well, God has got a personal spiritual plan for you. Yeah. And he wants to speak into your life and he wants to take you somewhere. He wants you to do stuff. He wants you to become somebody. But the question is, are we really listening? Or are we not really bothered? 45 years of being a Christian. What have I learned? Where have I gone? What have I done? How have I used my gifts? I am in a very privileged position, I admit. I have been called by God to pastor a church. And I feel very privileged and honored. But I know that's my calling. Do you know, when I walk into church buildings, I always look around and I just kind of suss it out. And I think, what would I do here? And a few years ago, I went to a very big church building. And I walked in, I thought, oh, this is heaven. I want one of these so we can build our church this big. But I know that's my calling upon my life. If I was to ask you, and you, and you, and you, what's the calling on your life, what would you tell me? What would you be able to say? What has God revealed to you about where he wants you to be? It was great what Simon shared. Because his sense of calling to engage in community is there. But what about you? And the problem is, very often we can give excuses, can't we? Well, I'm not doing anything because I've got a wonky leg. I'm not doing anything because my eyes aren't very good. I'm not doing anything because I'm too old. Sorry. Unless you get a note from God, that doesn't wash. God has a calling on your life. He wants to reveal it to you. Are you listening? We watched Mission Impossible the other day. The latest one. They're all the same, aren't they? Let's be honest. You know, baddie, goodie, and you know what's going to happen at the end. But what was lovely was that they had the old tape machine on it. Do you remember?
Yes,
It would self-destruct. It was there. Oh, this is just going back to my childhood, which is more than 45 years ago. Okay. But it's that sense of mission. Here's your calling. What are you going to do with your life? Go and do this. And the bit that's always got me is, this is your mission if you choose to accept it. Never did he actually say no. Oh, it would have been a very short program, wouldn't it? No, I'm not doing that one. But every time he said yes. And there's a lesson, isn't it? There's a lesson for you and me. Every time we should say yes to God. Let's move on quickly. Next one. Oh, this is a sad bit, isn't it? If you know the story of Peter, you'll know that Jesus was being arrested. He'd been tried. And as he was being tried, what happened was that Peter kind of went and followed Jesus. And he was on the edge of what was going on. And somebody spoke to him and they said, oh, you're with Jesus, aren't you? And he says, no, I don't even know him. And three times he denied Jesus. Said, I don't know him. And at the end of those verses, it says that Jesus went out and wept. Can you imagine how he felt? Because he wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to stand up and say, I am a Christian. And he couldn't. He lost his bottle. And Jesus told him what was going to happen. And he was sort of, no, Lord, I could never do that. But he did. He blew it. And what happens in John chapter 21 is that they'd met Jesus three times. And then Jesus kind of meets them. Because John and the disciples, the fishermen, had decided they were going to go fishing. But not like in a pastime, not like a hobby. But because actually what was happening in their life was that they had started probably to doubt Jesus. They were thinking, you know what, we've seen him three times, but what's going to happen next? Where's our life going? Let's go back and do something we know. And so they go fishing, and that morning Jesus is kind of on the beach, gets the fire going, and then the disciples see him, and they bring 153 fish. You can see it for yourself. And then Peter sees Jesus. He gets out of the boat, splashes through the water, and there he is face to face with Jesus. They have breakfast together. Then they have a conversation. A very awkward conversation. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Wow. And when he talks about these, what's he talking about? Some people would say he's talking about a fishing boat and the nets. Someone else would say the other disciples. Being a team. But he asked him the question, do you truly love me? Three times Jesus asked him the question. And if you go and look at the Greek, it's fascinating how Jesus is talking about one level of love and Peter can't even say that. Because he is so broken. And then at the end, what does Jesus say to him? He says, go and feed. Go and look after my sheep. Go and be the pastor of the church. Go and fulfill the calling I had for you. The bit I told you about Caesarea Philippi. Go and become church builder. And I put this in because actually for some of us are in that place where actually we are not really walking with God. For some of us, our relationship with Jesus is kind of, and we're just not there. And what I love about this is that, see, Jesus looked at Peter and he didn't see failure. He didn't see someone who had just messed it up. He didn't see someone who had walked away and denied him. But he saw someone he loved. He saw someone with such potential. And he wanted to bring him back and reestablish him in his kingdom. And maybe today God is saying to you, actually, I want you back. We've drifted apart. I love you, and I want you to love me in return. Maybe that's you today. The door is open. Christ says, come back. Be restored. Let's have that relationship once again. This is my last point. Hallelujah, you say. Because what happens is, of course, Peter is restored. Hallelujah. He's back on the team. And most people would say he was kind of one of probably the leader of the disciples, the group of 12. And what happens is that they are called by Jesus to wait so that the Holy Spirit can come. And so they wait. And we read in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus ascends to heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, they are waiting for the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in great power. It rests upon them. They speak in tongues. They have sound like a rushing wind goes to the house. And the Holy Spirit comes and like tongues of fire rests upon them. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Half of you say yes. The other half, not sure. Not sure about the tongues of fire on my head. I'm very concerned about my hair. Used hairspray earlier, it might just ignite my hair. But actually, what an experience. Yeah. And what happens is this Holy Spirit just transforms these people because they were afraid that actually they were going to end up like Jesus on a cross with nails through their hands and feet. And they were kind of hiding away. But when the Holy Spirit comes, they are in Jerusalem. They are just pushed out and they start to talk to people in all kinds of weird languages. You can read it for yourself, Acts chapter 2. And they start talking to people and they start talking about God. And every one of them, instead of being timid and afraid, is there. Whoa. And then it says Peter got up. Peter, the one who couldn't speak to a servant girl, so petrified of somebody kind of finding out who he was. He stands up in front of thousands of people. Okay? It wasn't just a little sermon. It wasn't a small group like you. It was at least 3,000 people, because 3,000 people got converted. Thousands of people. He stands up and he preaches his heart out. But you see, this time he's empowered and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He has power from God. He has passion within and he is going for it. I wonder if we spoke to him before he preached, whether he felt he could do that. If you spoke to him pre-Holy Spirit, Pentecost, do you think he would have been able to do that? Do you think his knees would be knocking? Do you think he'd go, no, I can't do that, it's too much. But with the Holy Spirit's anointing, all of a sudden he can do it. And he stands there and he goes for it. And he preaches his heart out. And the result is that thousands of people say, I'm going to follow Jesus. He told them that they had killed him. They had killed Jesus, the Messiah, and the next thing is they are all wanting to get baptized in the water. I'm giving my life to Christ because of the power of his preaching. He was transformed by the Holy Spirit because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we know that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is only for special people, don't we? No. I'm glad you said no, because it shows you're listening. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is not just for Peter. It's not just for disciples. It's not just for people who've got badges that says pastor. It's for every single person who would come and submit their lives to God and be willing to serve God and go for God. The anointing of God is available to every one of us if we seek it, if we want it, and we ask for it. Do you know, I talked to you about church getting deeper, yeah? So we could be in the water splashing around, and that's really exciting. So let's just imagine that the church, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we go knee deep, okay? So what's going to happen? We'll get our socks wet. Thank you, Jill. Let's just think about what's going to happen. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit does greater things amongst us, what's going to happen? People are going to get saved, aren't they?
Come on.
Okay? That's kind of a natural reaction. People who aren't Christians will hear the call of God, the Spirit of God will come upon them, and they will want to give their lives to Jesus. Yes?
Yes.
Got that. So what happens also is when God's Spirit is moving, people get healed, don't they?
No.
Yeah? And when people are blessed by the Holy Spirit, people are set free from all kinds of things.
Yes.
Okay? So, what does that mean? That we have to do. Well, it means we need to be praying and ministering to people. We need to be sharing the gospel with people. We need to be nurturing people. We need to be pastoring people. We need to be mentoring people. Because actually, the church, we don't just want to see people healed and saved. We want to see people become disciples. Which actually means that I can't do it all. Stuart, stand up. We see eye to eye. I love it. We're just going to do it all ourselves.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. Don't need any of you. Sit down. But the truth is, actually, if that all kind of kicks off, what we're going to need is we're going to need everybody.
Yeah.
And the journey isn't just for elders and leaders, but it's a journey we all take. And I feel today, I feel it right to say, actually, if God's going to do stuff in this place, every single one of us is going to be needed.
Come on. Yes.
You don't run a hospital with just one doctor, do you?
No.
Or two doctors?
The NHS does.
The NHS does. It tries to. But actually, you run a hospital with a whole group of people who are committed to the cause of saving lives and healing people.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a picture of the church, and it means that you and I, we need to work together.
Yeah.
You need to get on board and do the things that God has called you to do. And you may say, well, I'm 87, I can't do anything. You can do tons of stuff. You can be an encourager. You can be a prayer. You can get on email and start writing to people. You can encourage and bless others in a powerful way, because actually I feel when God starts to move, every one of us is going to be needed. Because lives are going to be changed.
Yeah.
And we don't want them just to see them born and die. We want to see them become disciples of Jesus. And we can only do that through the anointing of the Spirit of God. When we say, here I am, God, use me, fill me, anoint me, and put me to work.
Yes.
And for me, that's the vision I feel God wants me to share this morning. That we are not even ankle deep yet.
Yes.
But when we go deeper and deeper, when lives are changed, then actually we're all going to be needed. Are you a disciple? Are you somebody who's really on board? Because we look at the life of Peter. Peter started as a fisherman. How boring that must be. Because what can you talk about? Oh, I caught a fish today. It was this big. I caught 153 fish today. What a great day. What are we going to do tomorrow? Oh, we're going fishing again. Come home smelling a fish. Not very nice, is it? But think what he became.
Yeah.
He became the person who spoke those words that the church would be built on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He became the only man ever to walk on water. He became the church builder, the preacher, the healer of the book of Acts. Because he said yes. I was reading a fact this week, or heard a fact this week, that actually, if we were to take all the things that you do in your life, every word you say, every action you do, and it was to be written down, it would fill 382 books. That's a lot, isn't it? A lot of reading. How boring it would be. Or how interesting it could be. When we suddenly say yes to God, what God can do through us can be truly amazing. Wouldn't it be great to have in your book, I prayed for someone and they were healed. I shared my faith with someone and they gave their life to Jesus. I mentored a young person and today they're a missionary. All those things we can do if we give our lives to Christ, if we truly get on board and follow him just as Peter did.
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Can I ask you to stand? I get a sense that God is speaking to some of us today. For so long we have been spectators. And God is calling us into the game. God is saying, yes, I want you. And I want you to do this or that. I'm going to pray that actually that we would really open our lives to God. As we've heard his voice, that we would obey. And that he would equip us and anoint us by his Spirit. Just ask, maybe this morning, as you feel the call of God, why don't you just put your hands out like you're about to receive a gift. Just put them out in front of you as an act of surrender, an act of acceptance, an act that you are about to receive something from the Father, a gift from him. Father God, thank you. We thank you for your presence here with us now. Father, we thank you for your call upon our lives, that you have made us children of God. Lord, that is a wonderful truth, and we celebrate within our hearts. We rejoice today. We are children of the living God. We are loved. We are accepted. We are wanted. And I thank you, Lord, we are called. And we ask this morning, I just want to pray that you would take what we offer today, our lives, our thoughts, all that we have, and that you would take it and you would use it. That you'd help us to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. You would empower us to live for him. To serve him. Lord, that you would set us free from the things that hold us and bind us. That you would fill us with your love and compassion. That our hearts would be changed to be hearts that feel the very heartbeat of God. And we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. That we would overflow with the Spirit of God. That we would have prophetic words that come from heaven. That you would give us the gifts. The gift of tongues, the gift of healing. That our lives would be empowered and would make a difference in the world that we live in. Father, send your Spirit and fill us afresh. and send us out. In Jesus' name. Amen.